Well, good morning once again to all. It is such a joy and a pleasure to be here with you on this Lord's Day. We gather together because of that great call of love that we just sang about. And we're hopeful that we understand how precious that call is, that we can be in literally God's holy people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, those who were called out of darkness into His marvelous, marvelous light. We've been studying out of the book of Ephesians now for quite some time. In fact, you might not realize it, but this is literally the 28th lesson from this book of Ephesians. In this letter to the saints in Ephesus, the apostle Paul, he has taught us who we are. In the very first three chapters, we are the children of God. We are the redeemed. We are the ones who are blessed. And we are the ones who have a home in heaven awaiting us one day. In the beginning of chapter 4, he exhorts us by teaching us that we, therefore, as the prisoners of the Lord, he says, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. And that's what we've been working on since we ended up chapter 3, and teaching us that we're able to be doing the work day by day that He's called us to do. We have to strive for the unity of faith and the bond of peace. So we've been looking at chapter 6 for some time. Beginning at verse 10, the apostle Paul teaches us that we need, in order to win the battle against the devil, our enemy, Satan, we need to be able to stand up against him wearing the full armor of God. If we look at Ephesians together here in chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10, and we want to go ahead and read this chapter right on through verse 14. Ephesians chapter 10. And beginning here, Ephesians chapter 6, and we want to begin at verse 10. Paul writes, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand within the evil day, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's where we want to stop today, at verse 15. Christians are to be strong in the Lord, to find strength in the Lord. Only finding strength in the Lord can lead us to victory. We can stand against the devil, against the forces of darkness, against evil, by this armor which God has provided us. So we're able to stand, and we're able to stand firm. So today, the lesson title based on verse 15 is simply, walking worthy means Christians, shod your feet. We read the verse, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, Paul says. In other words, it's like putting on your shoes to prepare for a journey or for some particular task. You know, here Paul is telling us how important it is that we must do whatever it takes to make our feet ready to go out and to proclaim the gospel of peace. Right? That phrase, to fit to shod your feet, means to prepare yourself with whatever it takes to make you ready to go out into the world, to be able to keep the Lord's command. Remember what His command was in Mark 16 at verse 15, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Right? Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, go out into all the world, make disciples of men, every nation making disciples of men, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe whatever I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always till the end of the age. So this idea of shodding is putting on your shoes that protect your feet when you know, for to give you firm footing on whatever ground or terrain that you're on. Putting on the gospel, shodding your feet with the gospel of peace, enables you to stand firm in this world against evil, against the devil, with the uncontroversial truth. And when I say uncontroversial truth, I know that there's controversy, people who don't believe the truth. But studying God's Word, understanding all the authors and all the harmony, understanding the historical events that were proven, understanding God's Word, it's in uncontroversial truth. You know, most Sundays, not today, but most Sundays, my children come and visit with us on Sunday after worship. And one of the things that always happens is when they're ready to leave, my son will say to the children, put on your shoes. We're ready to go. Put on your shoes. It's time to go. And when you think about that, that's the part of the armor that God wants us to put on before we go. Because we'll surely fail if we don't put on the whole armor of God. So we put on this shoe, we shod our feet with the armor of God, with the Word of God. And so we realize that, you know, in the summertime, you don't put on, hiking boots if you're just going out to relax. You know, you put on, flip-flops or some kind of, shoe that just keeps your foot cool. And so the type of shoe that you put on is for the work that you're going to do, right? You don't, if it's nice outside, you put some kind of slipper on, if a tennis shoe, if it's raining, you put on some kind of boot that's waterproof. If it's snowing and cold, you put on, boots that are warm and insulated. And so the point is you have to put on the right shoe for the right purpose. So we ask Paul, what do we do to make our feet shod and ready for the evil? And Paul's answer simply is you put on the gospel. Our readiness, our ability to stand up against the devil, it only comes from the gospel of peace. This is the only way that we can be ready to fight this battle. You know, a couple things that James said to help put this into perspective properly. James chapter 1 verse 22, remember what he said? He said, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So it's one thing to read the word, it's another thing to put it on. It's one thing to be able to quote scripture, it's another thing to shod your feet with the gospel of peace. Right? James in chapter 2 and verse 14, he says, what does it profit a man if he says, I have faith and he has not works? Can faith save him? It can. Right? We can't be saved by that faith. He says, show me your faith without your works and I'll show you my faith by my works. You see how a man is saved by faith or works and not faith only. So we have to shod our feet. We have to take this Bible, eat it every day, take in the Word of God. And that's how we shod our feet. That's how we're preparing ourselves for the gospel. And we can combine that with Matthew chapter 7 verse 21. We have the Lord Jesus himself. Right? He says, we need to take this not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So all that simply means read it, put it into your heart, bear fruit, and allow that to run the race that we're called to run. That's how we Christians shod our feet. We do that by enabling us to walk out into this world with the gospel of peace. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so we think of that. How is that accomplished? I've kind of laid into that a little bit, but it's accomplished by understanding the gospel of peace. First, Jesus made all this possible through that gospel by making the two one. Right? You turn back to chapter 2 and at verse 13 and you read what the apostle Paul said there. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That's what he did. He was able, through the power of his blood, the gospel, all this to combine together to make the two one. And you notice in verse 14 what the apostle said, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. So he made the two one, he broke down the middle wall, he brought them together and made the two one. That separation was the old law, the Jews and the Gentiles who had no law, and he brought us all under one umbrella, one law, the law of Christ. Jesus abolished the hostility, the enmity that was between the Jews and the Gentiles. So he created that one class of people who are called Christians, saints, the body of Christ. You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So he was able to do that with the gospel message of Jesus Christ, his sacrifice and the power of his blood. So there's no more Gentile, Jew. In fact, really there's no male or female, bond or free, slave or free, male or female, bond or free, Jew or Greek. None of that exists. This is the message that the whole world needs to hear today. With all the indifferences, with all the hate, with all the misunderstanding, with all the conflicts between races that isn't real. We need to get this message of Jesus Christ out to the world. We need to tell the world that Jesus can bring us all together. The love of God is able to overcome all these differences that for the most part aren't even real. We can love one another regardless of color, creed, nationality, background, education, wealth. It doesn't matter. Jesus and his love was able to accomplish that for us. And the world needs to hear that message. One body, one holy nation. Jesus, through his blood, to bring peace. And that's what happens in the churches. Right? We're not all white. We're not all black. We're not all male. We're not all female. We're not all free in the sense. We're not all rich. We're not all poor. God was able to bring us all together under one roof called the church. And so all the wars in this world, all the bombs in this world will never eliminate hate, will never eliminate differences. All the technology, past, present, and future, cannot accomplish what Jesus did on that cross. Because of his blood, we can have salt in ourselves and we can be at peace with one another. What a great message that is. And secondly, God made this possible because he reconciled both to God. Think about that. The power of the gospel. Romans 1:16, I already quoted that. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. That was all the hostility between those two were brought down by the sacrifice on that cross. Jesus destroyed that. He reconciled all who would believe and obey to be one and to be able to see one day the Creator face to face. We think about that. Hostility is gone. And yet, we think of how He did it. He did it because of His great love. He redeemed mankind by the shedding of blood, reconciling us back together with the Father. My sins, your sins, they caused a separation. They caused that hostility between us and our Creator. And so we're all guilty of sin. The Scripture says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. John wrote that if we say we have no sin, we're liars and the truth is not in us. We're all sinners. We're all worthy of judgment. But sending His only begotten Son was necessary. And as Israel was corrupt, we were corrupt. Because at some point in time, we did not have that relationship, that knowledge of God, of our Savior. You know, Isaiah, he wrote these words, "For thus says the Lord, you have sold yourselves for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money." That was read in the Scripture from Isaiah this morning. Think about that. They've sold themselves for nothing. The cost of their imprisonment. They were ostracized, taken into captivity. There was no cost there. It was something that just happened. They were redeemed, though, without money. There was no price paid monetarily. And the references of course, that great act of divine power that set the captives free, they didn't pay for that. God paid for that. The price of their redemption, not one single penny was ever paid. Just like the Exodus from Egypt or from Babylon, there was no ransom paid. And the paradox here of buying and selling without of buying back something without having purchased it first, that's the whole symbol of the Christian redemption through Christ. Jesus paid it all. Right? Our sins made us to be at war with God. But His love purchased the peace, not with money, but with the blood of His Son. So, you know, it's not your sins that affect me. It's not my Father's sins that affect me. I'm separated because of my sin. And I left myself powerless to be saved. And amazingly, God solved the problem through His Son, Jesus Christ. You remember the hymn that we often sing in the from our hymnal, "When I surveyed the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain I count but loss and pour contempt on my pride." Were the whole realm of nature mine, if I owned everything in the world, that present was far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Only because of His love. Because of the wondrous cross, do we have a way out of condemnation that sin brings. That's the message that we need to share when we shod our feet with the gospel of peace. It's a message that the world needs to hear. We no longer conduct ourselves in the lust of the flesh and fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind. We're no longer by nature children of wrath. No longer recipients of the condemnation. No longer receiving what we absolutely did deserve. We have been reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. A message that needs to be heard. To win that battle the message needs to be preached. And not just in Israel, when we read from Isaiah 52, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Not just to Israel. But the scriptures tell us that the Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all nations and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of God. Think about that. It was God's predetermined design that the world needs to hear. His arm is open and extended to every soul. Go therefore, Jesus, remember, make disciples of all nations, go out into the world, preach the gospel to every creature. We preach because God brought someone shodded with the gospel of peace to us. And we believed. We rejoice that God's great mercy and His grace intervened in our lives because of that preaching. And we don't receive judgment now because of that. We rejoice because of the glorious message of mercy that God brought that made peace between us and our Creator. Right? We rejoice because through Him we have access through one Spirit to the Father, our Holy Father. We rejoice because that we now are called the redeemed. We are now called the people of God. We are called His children. We are the saved. We are saints in Christ. We are the adopted children of God. We have an inheritance in heaven one day in the after while. We have many reasons to rejoice because some person was sent with shodded feet of the gospel of peace to us. So from here, what do we want to consider? How the gospel of peace prepares us to stand? Remember that you're not prepared to go out until you have the appropriate shoes. Right? Don't try running in slippers. Don't try running a marathon in slippers because it won't work. And you don't go to work a construction job wearing flip-flops. That won't work. Having shod your feet with the right shoes, in this case, preparing yourself with the gospel of peace prepares you to stand and fight the fight. It prepares you to be on whatever ground you're on to win the battle. And we do that first, of course, by daily study. That puts everything into perspective. That puts God's Word in the forefront. You know, we're told that, you know, the disciples or the apostles were told, you don't worry about what you're going to say because the Spirit will give you words that you must speak. Well, the Spirit gave us words. He gave us answers to all those questions out there about Jesus. Is He real? Is He not real? Did He really raise up from the dead? Was His blood really that powerful? You know, is the Bible is just a book written by men and very confusing and contradictory within itself. We can answer all those questions if we prepare ourselves. In 1 Peter chapter 3 at verse 15, we sanctify the Lord God in our hearts and we're always ready to give an answer, a defense rather, to everyone who asks us a reason of the hope that is within us with meekness and fear. That's how we prepare ourselves. We do that by studying daily to make ourselves approved unto God. Workmen that needeth not be ashamed. Right? And then when we do that, our speech will always be gracious. Our speech will always be seasoned with salt so that we will know how to answer everyone. Paul said that, Colossians chapter 4. In verse 6. Right? The result is very simple. We'll be useful for the master. We'll be able to teach with humility those who are in opposition. That is, that people will hear the gospel. People will either respond or not respond. And if they do respond, God brings forth the increase, and we praise God for that. Secondly, it motivates us to go and proclaim the gospel. The more you read the Bible, the more confidence you have. When we think about Titus chapter 2, if you look at that, Titus chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. We study that. We read that about the grace of God. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. It gives us that ability to live the way God wants. That builds our confidence. Looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our Lord and God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You think about that. Grace appeared, teaching us to deny ungodliness, looking for the blessed hope. And who are we getting that from? Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, purifying for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. That's us. We're a people who are preparing ourselves, shodding our feet, being ready, teaching, denying ungodliness, looking for the blessed hope through Jesus Christ. That's who we are. Shodding our feet with the love of God that teaches us to deny ungodliness and gives us the strength and the power and the zeal to do the same thing. Shodding our feet teaches us not to fear man, but to fear God and to keep His commandments. We know the terror of the Lord, so we preach and persuade men. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. And so getting to this third point in our text, the gospel of peace prepares us to stand. Every time you put on those shoes, you're preparing yourself to stand. Every time you put on those shoes. You know, spiritually, we're ready to go out to fight that battle because we have answers. We're confident. We have zeal. We have God for us. What can man do to us? There's no way around it. Not binding our feet, not shodding our feet with the gospel, preparation of the gospel of peace is just destined to failure. We'll begin to cower down at the questions and the remarks and the comments of the world, and we won't have answers, and we'll be afraid, and we'll back up into the dark. The good news is, the light of Christ that came into the world we read about this morning cannot be hidden. Right? How marvelous, how wonderful are the works, and the song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. The message is too wonderful. It's too powerful to be hidden and kept. Isaiah, how beautiful are the feet of those who proclaim the gospel of peace. We need to look at ourselves and we need to ask a question, right? Are my feet beautiful in the sight of the Lord? It's a simple question. And Paul makes it perfectly clear that part of that beauty is not just shodding your feet, but going out into the world and preaching. That's exactly what Isaiah said. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And we're all called to do that. The bottom line, we're all called to do what the prophets said, to do what Paul said. And every time we do that, when our feet are shod and prepared, souls can be saved, hearts can be changed. We answer those questions and people will respond. Finally, the terms of peace. We think about this. For the first century Christians, peace must have had something quite different than it does in our century. Peace then included violence. In our century, it includes sitting at a table and changing our differences, right? For the first century Christian, the peace was secured by rulers who just overpowered and forced you to follow after them, right? But with Jesus Christ, all of that is taken away. We have one king, one ruler, one master whom we serve. Remember that verse in Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 7. God, your God, reigns. That's true today. And if we want to have peace, we have to have that through our Creator, through our Master, through our Lord, our Savior. We can't barter for peace. There are no demands that we can make on the table between us and God. We simply humble ourselves and submit to the message and the terms, and we agree, and we will then have the gospel of peace. We listen to those words of Paul, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. Jesus indeed is the conquering King. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so we have peace by submitting ourselves to God. We have peace because we enjoy the peace that we share together as a church, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as beloved members of this body. And that's good news because it includes eternal life with the Heavenly Father. So let us shod our feet. Let us do what we're called to do. Take part in the great privilege and position that we have living in Christ. You think about those terms also. Jesus made it pretty simple, pretty clear. If we give out this message in the terms of Jesus in John chapter 6, verse 45, Jesus makes it clear that if you want to be drawn to Him, you have to hear and be taught of God. That's the first condition, the first term. Then in John chapter 8, verse 24, He makes it clear that after we're taught and we hear, we have to believe that He is. That's the second term. To hear it, be taught, to believe. In Luke chapter 13, verse 3, Jesus again brings up a term, and the term is to repent of your sins or you perish. So we hear the message, we believe the message, we repent of the message. And then in Matthew chapter 10, verse 31, Jesus says, whoever confesses me before men, him also will I confess before my Father. So part of the term, according to Jesus, is to confess Him before men, His name. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And finally, Jesus says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. If you believe those things today, you've heard them, that is the invitation of Jesus Christ from His own lips. If you've heard that today, you don't have any other choice than to deny Jesus or to accept Jesus. It's your choice. But if you accept Jesus, you'll be shod with the gospel of peace. You'll be recipients of the everlasting life in heaven with God. And if you don't, you won't. And if you're here today and you have sin in your life that you need to deal with, today is the right day, the right time. So the invitation stands. Whatever need you have, please don't wait until it's everlastingly too late, but come forward now as we sing the song of invitation.